What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing in anyone's life? Now, there are four very logical answers. The first is to earn a living. The first is to earn a living. Apparently, this thing is not going to cooperate today. Dave, if you could advance it a page or two for me, I'd appreciate that. The first is to earn a living. The second is to marry the right person. The third is to get your heart right with God and get saved. And the fourth might be to serve God. Now, you will all agree that those are incredibly important things in our lives, are they not? But as some of you learned, if you grew up in a church that used the catechism, which ours doesn't, but it probably should, the question has always been, what is the chief end of man? And the answer to that, if you know the shorter catechism, the answer to that is man's chief end is to glorify God. Now, you will notice that that was not in my list of four most important things. That was to earn a living, to marry the right person, to get saved, and to serve God till you go to heaven. Now, you say, but isn't that accomplishing the purpose? Maybe. But more likely, no. The most important thing that you and I do and can do is to glorify God. Now, how do we glorify God? And I believe that the way you glorify God is that our life should be brought to God by praise. Praise. Our life should be a song of praise. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God." We are to be praising God. If you have your Bibles with you, and I'm sure most of you do, turn to Isaiah. We're going to come back to Psalm 148, but flip over to Isaiah chapter 43 for just a moment. I want you to see what God says. And I quoted these verses on Wednesday night in our Thanksgiving service. Notice verse 7. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory," God says, "I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." Down in verse 10, the second part of the verse. "And understand that I am he." That's God speaking. "Understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be after me." What is God saying? He is saying, I am the eternal God. There is no beginning to me. There is no end. There never was a time when I did not exist, and there never will be a time when I do not exist. And if you have a hard time comprehending that, just look at yourself and look at the persons around you and the pew that you're sitting on and tell me which of those things you made. You say, well, somebody made the pew, but they made the pew out of something they didn't make, and that is wood. Who created wood? Who grew the wood? Who figured out how to turn sunshine shining on a leaf to feed a tree that grows in a little bit of soil that weighs an infinitesimal amount in comparison with the weight of that tree and its branches and all of its leaves? And then all of the fluid that is sucked up out of the ground through little roots. Who did that? Did you? Did I? Can we? Of course not. God did. And so God says, there is no God before me. I've always been. There's no God after me. I always will be. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Verse 11. I am Jehovah. And besides me, there is no Savior. Now, wait a minute. I'm reading in the Old Testament. Isn't Savior something you think of in the New Testament? Verse 12, he says, I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. And there is no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. How do I glorify God? I praise Him. And this morning, I want us to look together at some things that you and I are to be praising. Now, what's it mean to praise? Well, the dictionary says, to bestow approval on, to honor, to worship, to glorify, to commend, not condemn. Those two words are very similar in their spelling and their pronunciation, but they are exactly the opposite. We're to commend God to others. We're to commend God for what He has done. And we are to commend God for who He is. Now, this morning, we want to talk about the participants of praise. Who participates in praise? Who's to praise God? Look at Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21. Who's to praise God? And we're going to look at a list. Now, you all know I'm a great list person. And I can't help myself. I've been a list person all my life. Some people are not list people. But that works for me. And so I looked these things up, and I found in Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21, bless the Lord, you His, say it with me, angels. Angels. Who are the participants in praising God? Angels. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all His works in all places. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How do you bless God? Same as praising God. You tell God how great He is. Now you say, well, I don't know how great God is. Well, I just gave you a hint. Look at His creation. Look at the creation around you. At night, look at the creation up there. You don't need a pair of binoculars or telescope to tell that there's a myriad of stars. You read in a book and you find out that there are trillions times trillions times trillions of stars. You can't even comprehend what those numbers are. People tell you that the government is now $17 trillion in debt. And if you saw that, that's about 23 zeros after the number 17. To give you a little hint, it's a lot. And God has made them. And they're out there. And they have names. That's one thing that is hard to understand. God says He's named all of those things. Now, do you get the hint that we have a great and wonderful God? In our reading this morning in Psalm 148, and y'all can turn back there, because that's kind of where we're going to stay. In Psalm 148, verse 2, again, God mentions the angels as praising Him. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. What are hosts? Well, today we would translate that word armies. God has armies? Well, Elisha knew about God's army, didn't they? We talked about that in men's Sunday school class this morning. That God has armies. And God allowed Elisha to see the army. Stretched all around. Every direction that Elisha and his servant looked, there was the army of God. Then they looked down at the ground. There was the army of Syria. Then they looked up there. There was the army of God. Guess who was greater? God's army, of course. So praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts of angels. his army of angels. Psalm 30, and I'm going to rush through this. Psalm 30, and also Psalm 149, verse 5 and 6, God talks about his saints. Now, what is a saint? No, it's not somebody that some great denomination has decided so-and-so's a saint. The Bible says if you're a child of God, you're a saint. And so it says there in verse 5 of 149, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Are you one of those people that sing yourself to sleep? Kids do. It sounds to me like David or whoever wrote this psalm thought that adults could sing themselves to sleep. You say, well, I can't sing. No, but you can memorize and hum. You can think through the words of songs and hymns and psalms. Amen? How about nations? Are nations to praise the Lord? That's what it says in Psalm 117. Verse 1 and 2, the nations are to praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 21, children are to praise the Lord. In Psalm 148, we read this morning, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth are to praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, both young men and maidens. In other words, young men and young ladies, old men and children. And I wonder why it left women out here. Didn't say old ladies, did it? Just said old men and children. So I guess every woman is just a maiden at the beginning of that verse. Young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. Now, if God's creation is so glorious, and it is, then think about how much greater God must be. Isn't God greater than his creation? And his creation is endless as far as we can tell. Look at the varieties. Now, there's one thing that I don't understand why God created. And I used to say the mosquito. But how about those miserable little ticks that can give us all kinds of diseases, that can spread infection, that spread Lyme's disease, and many other things? Why did God make those little things? But God is a God of great variety, and God's a God of great power. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Probably have to flip the page in your Bible, maybe not. Let everything that has breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then if that's not enough, he repeats it. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know what? That word is hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what that psalm ends with, is hallelujah. You know, they tell me that that is the one word that's the same in every language. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, why in the world do I want to praise the Lord? Well, I'm going to go down through the list. We're not going to have time to look at the scriptures. They will be on the board if Dave can keep up with me. The reason for praise. From Isaiah 24, we learn because of his majesty. From Psalm 138, verse 5, we learn because of his glory. In Psalm 148, verse 13, we learn because of his excellent name. He has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. What is his name? Jehovah? written in your English Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. Elohim. That's capital G, O-D, Elohim. There are all kinds of names for God in the Bible, and they are to be exalted. So we are to exalt God's excellent name. Number four, because of God's greatness. Psalm 145, verse 3. Number five, because of the Lord's holiness. Aren't you glad God is holy? Now, you and I have an awful time trying to be holy, don't we? We struggle with that. But isn't it wonderful to know that God is holy? And God has credited His holiness, His righteousness, to our account. It doesn't mean that we are holy in our actions. It means that we are credited by God's justification of declaring us righteous before Him. It's our position. Now our practice needs to be brought up to our position. In justification, we have the position of righteousness. In sanctification, we're working on bringing practice into conformity with position. Number six, because of God's wisdom. Is there anything that God doesn't know? God is all wise, isn't He? He is omniscient. It means He knows everything, but He's also omnisapient. You say, where'd you find that word? In the theology book. Omnisapient. It means God has all wisdom. And there is nothing that God doesn't know and understand and know how to put into use. Because of God's power, Psalm 21, verse 13. Because of God's goodness, Psalm 107 and verse 8. And verse 7, 15, and verse 21, and verse 31, it says, because of God's goodness. Because of God's loving kindness and truth. That's Psalm 138, verse 2. Now, where do I get most of these things from? The book of Psalms. Now, some of you are reading through your Bibles. That's a wonderful thing. And those of you that aren't, are you reading a psalm a day? In fact, there's 150 psalms. There's 30 days in some months. So if you read 5 psalms a day, you would read through the book of Psalms every month. And then you read the chapter of Proverbs that meets the day on the calendar. So the 17th day of the month, you'll read Proverbs 17. Now, why would you do such a thing? So you can bring glory to God, and so you can bless your soul, and so you can feed your soul and your mind and your life. Number 9, because of God's loving kindness and truth. Number 10, because of God's mercy. I already mentioned that in the beginning of the service, didn't I? The mercy of God. God holding back from us the bad stuff that we deserve. God's grace, God giving to us the things that we don't deserve, and God does in great measure, doesn't He? So number 10, because of God's mercy. Number 11, because of God's faithfulness. God is faithful. God's faithfulness is new and fresh every day. Great is Thy faithfulness, Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations. And then because God provided salvation. If you have nothing else you can think of to thank God for, thank Him for your salvation. Amen? He saved you. He washed your sins away. He put a new song in your heart, even praise unto the Lord, it says. And then because of God's wonderful works. Psalm 150, seeing how you still should be there in that neighborhood. Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the flute, or with the lute and the harp. They are different kinds of stringed instruments. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Now, what did he just talk about? All the instruments of the orchestra, didn't they? So, you can use music to praise God. Did you know that? And it can be loud music. I know there are people who don't think you're supposed to use any instruments in worshiping God. You're only supposed to use your voice and your hands. I don't know how they get that idea when here's a whole section of the last chapter of the Psalms that says, use the orchestra, amen, to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Therefore, don't you love therefores? Therefore, what is the most important thing in life? To earn a living? To marry the right person? Those are very important, are they not? To get saved? Absolutely necessary. To serve God? That should follow your salvation, amen? But the chief end of man is to glorify God. Do you glorify Him? I've given you 13 reasons this morning to glorify God. If you don't know any other way, then get the book out. It's already written for you. Just read through, and every time you come to something that touches your heart, say, Hallelujah! And keep on reading. If you can't say hallelujah out loud, okay. But you ought to be able to say hallelujah in your own family, in your own house, right? And when you're driving down the road, that's a great time to pray and praise and have Christian music on your radio and be singing along with it and praising God. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the second thing is, let us pray to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, great merciful Heavenly Father, help us to praise You in everything. You told us to. You told us to give thanks in everything. Now, You didn't say we had to give thanks for everything, but when we're in the midst of that terrible trial and trouble and all of those things, help us to remember to call on You and to honor You and to glorify You and to exalt You and watch what You're going to do for us because You love us. Thank You, Father, that You loved us enough to save us from our sins with the penalty payment of Your precious Son as He died on Calvary's cross and paid for the sins of the world. God, we can say it, but we cannot comprehend it. We can read it, but we fully cannot understand it. What love You have expended upon us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we thank You so much. Bless Your people this day, and help us to bless You, and help us to encourage one another as You have encouraged us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.